Is there such a thing as LGBTQ plus tyranny? We're going to talk about that right now with a former homosexual. His name is Stephen Black. He's been involved with Christian ministry for years, helping homosexuals and lesbians come out of that lifestyle. I know many people think, oh, no, that's not possible because you're born that way. Well, of course, on the other hand, they turn around and they say, now you just sort of can change from this to that and the other and then change back and whatever. It's all confusing. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and it's great to talk with you, Stephen Black. And you are the author of Freedom Realized. People can get more information on that at freedomrealized.com. You're also involved with First Stone Ministries, as in Let Him Who Is Without Sin Cast the First Stone, firststone.org. And it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. It's good to be with you.
Did I get that the websites right as far as the names?
Freedomrealized.org, not .com.
Oh, .org. Okay, sorry about that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, how about that underlying question? There's an assumption that is so often made about the whole gay issue, and that is that people are born that way, this is who they are, and you're just a Neanderthal if you don't accept that, as opposed to the idea of, well, no, actually, they became that way through some damage that occurred in their lives psychologically, and, you know, God would that they become whole, made whole, and freed like you were, and like Ann Polk, etc.
Yeah, well, the reality is that through the gospel of Jesus Christ and anyone that really desires to set in order something of a different direction in their life and appetites or desires, quote-unquote, change, can, of course, do so in many, many spectrums of life. But for some reason, there is this narrative from even the APA and now the American Medical Association and other groups that are proclaiming with their wisdom that people can't change orientation, sexual desires, and yet they can change their gender. So it's like we have a world upside down in regard to human sexuality, and that's the day that we live in, Jerry.
Well, what do you mean they can't change their orientation, but they can change their gender? Please define the differences between the two.
Yeah, well, orientation is a psychological construct of feeling and desire. And so they're saying that you're kind of hardwired with your desires for who you're going to be attracted to sexually, and they call this orientation. And yet that's not been my experience. It's not been the experience of literally thousands of other people that I have actually had the honor to minister to over the last 30 years. And yet that's what they're saying. And yet then they'll come right around and say that a person can be dealt with what's called gender dysphoria or gender identity conflict and can propagate this idea that medically they can alter their bodies and become a different gender. And yet there are people that are doing really what I call good science and good medical help that would completely disagree with that. And we're going to be talking about that this year at the God's Voice Conference. We're going to really be dealing with what you brought up at the very beginning, and that is this idea of an oppressive, even a scientific in the scientific community, of a real political movement dealing with the LGBTQ and the plus sign, and people really should pay attention to that plus sign because there's an oppression, not just in the culture, but now in the church, that people need to embrace what they call sexual minorities. So this is a tyranny, a very tyrannical movement that is very political, and even the Human Rights Campaign, the biggest gay lobby in the United States, is pushing a faith-based narrative that there should be, quote-unquote, LGBTQ Christianity, and that it be embraced. So we're going to be dealing with this real tyranny and oppression forthrightly from the medical, from the political, from the legal, and what's going on in the church, at God's Voice this year. And so people really do need to be educated about what's happening, because they want us to believe a lie concerning orientation and a lie concerning gender reassignment.
Okay, why do you call it tyranny, especially when the people who are the tyrants in this case are the ones who are always talking about tolerance?
That is the oxymoronic understanding that people that actually are screaming the loudest, or at least they used to, that we should be tolerant, are completely intolerant of anybody that does not agree with their narrative and their worldview, that all LGBTQ plus sign behavior be accepted as normative. So we are calling it tyranny because there's censorship now going on. There is the indoctrination of children through drag queen story hours, and education systems now are in California, New Jersey, Illinois, demanding that children be taught LGBTQ history. So there's a lot going on, and we would call it very tyrannical, in that there is an oppressiveness of conformity to this, or else you're going to be, even if the Democrats had it their way, that you would even be fined and jailed for not agreeing with this new worldview of LGBTQ sexual behavior being equal to race and gender. And so this is what we're facing as a culture, and we must give an answer to it.
There was a fellow somewhere in the Midwest, and I guess he was at some kind of, you know, drunken nightclub or something like that. And then he went over and he took an LGBTQ rainbow flag and he burned it. And then he received, as a penalty, 15 years in prison. And, you know, it wasn't good for him to do that. That wasn't very respectful. But 15 years in prison? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, he burned the flag because he did not agree with the homosexual lifestyle. And he was, you know, like so many of us, are really getting tired of what is called the rainbow flag. It's actually now more the pride banner. They even call it the pride banner. And so, you know, take pride in LGBTQ behavior, and it's being forced on people. But it is outrageous that this man would get sentenced to over 15 years in prison for burning a flag, a rainbow flag. I mean, nobody gets that kind of sentencing for burning the American flag, but this is the tyranny we're under. If you burn an LGBTQ flag or a pride banner, you're considered hateful. And so they're using hate crime laws to punish people, and that's what they're going to continue to do, even in the church.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the church itself, in the sense that you've got, for example, presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg out of, you know, South Bend, Indiana, and he's sort of claiming, well, you know, I can beat Trump because I can win over the whole state of Indiana. To my knowledge and my understanding, he's only won in the city of South Bend, you know, which is not the same as the entire state of Indiana. But he likes to tout himself as a Christian and then contrast himself with Mike Pence, who he, you know, was almost talking about as if he's a false Christian or something like that. But comment about Christianity and the gay movement.
Well, you cannot be really genuine in disagreeing with black and white, hard ink, and the Hebrew and the Greek, that there is a condemnation of homosexual behavior throughout Scripture. Now, what they do is they try to they manipulate the idea of moral law along with ceremonial, clothing, and dietary law, which we know that in the words of Jesus Christ made it very clear that those things are not what brings righteousness, and the law itself, even moral law, doesn't provide the righteousness of God. It's provided through Jesus Christ. But moral law was reiterated in the New Covenant that violating it does bring about a death and darkness to the soul. And Jesus died so that grace would enter into the soul of man to give them the ability to repent. Grace has appeared unto all, bringing salvation, but it is only to those who truly believe. And what this presidential candidate and all of the Democrat presidential candidates support in LGBTQ behavior are supporting violation of moral law, which Ephesians chapter 5 is really my go-to, especially verse 5 and 6, which says you can know with certainty that no sexually immoral person or sexually impure or covetous, greedy idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And verse 6 says right after that, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, those who practice this, they have the wrath of God on them who are children of disobedience. So the scripture is really clear, and Paul reiterated this in almost every single one of his letters, that in some way that moral law concerning human sexuality has never changed from Genesis to Revelation. And so for this Pete guy and the other Democrat nominees to say that you can be a practicing homosexual and make it equal to gender or race are actually in opposition to Scripture and the creator of the universe. And so it is really disingenuous to say that the Scripture or that even in church history that there is some kind of a new narrative that needs to replace the old narrative. It's just not true. The truth is that God never changes. It also says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed, and he certainly has not changed on this view. In his own words in the Sermon on the Mount, not one jot or tittle would pass away of the moral law of God, of the Torah, concerning all things of the Ten Commandments and human sexuality. Not one bit of it's changing. And so they're telling things that are not true. And if we're going to be compassionate and really loving people, we need to tell them the truth, and we need to tell them that the gospel of Jesus can change people's lives, as it has mine and many other people who have come out of homosexuality.
How monogamous are homosexual relationships? And I mention this because Pete Buttigieg claims to be, you know, he's married, quote-unquote, to a man. Is that by definition, not necessarily in his case, but in virtually all the cases of male homosexuals, an open relationship? In other words, meaning it's given that there's going to be cheating on the side, which is not true in heterosexual marriage. And it's by my understanding, too, that lesbians are better on that front than the males are. Your comments.
Yes, sir. You know, it is my own experience, but before I go there, the CDC, the Center for Disease and Control, their statistics and from what has been polled by gay men, that it is a kind of a front of the idea of monogamy. They call it monogamish, and they laugh because it's very rare that any male homosexuals stick to one partner. And then in female homosexuality, because female sexuality is more relational, not that they can't have sexual addiction, because some of them do, the idea of monogamy is more prevalent within female homosexuality. But even in female homosexuality, they will add other partners.
We have 30 seconds.
So, you know, this is ridiculous, but in my own life, it was laughed about in the gay community. I lived as a gay man for 8 years, so it's just unheard of, really.
Wow. But Christ set you free from all that. People can get more information at firststone.org. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.